Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Ask the Pastor, the program that provides great Bible teaching and you, the listener, with the opportunity to ask your questions. Hosted by Jim Simmons and Pastor Charles Lyons, we look forward to reading and sharing the Word of God with you. Now, in addition, we set aside time in each broadcast to hear your prayer request and go to God in prayer. The program is interactive, so be a part of Ask the Pastor.
Good evening, and welcome to Ask the Pastor on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Jim Simmons, and we're happy that you've joined us this evening. We believe tonight's program will be a blessing to you. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce to you the pastor of Ask the Pastor, author, lecturer, teacher, Dr. Charles Lyons. Doctor, how are you this evening?
Quite fine. Thank you so much for that very kind introduction. And I think it's very wise of us to take this moment and welcome our listeners to us, whether they're listening to us live at this time or whether by archive at a later time based on their schedule. We're always thankful to have them join us in this wonderful time that we can share together. It is a very special blessing to know that we can have time to pray for each other, to then be able to spend some time in the Word of God, studying it together, and then just open it up to any questions that we might receive. It's a very special time. But I think the most important thing that we can do, we always do, by having us open the right way, Jim, if you'd be kind enough to start us in prayer.
Absolutely. Our Heavenly Father, we come with anticipation, Father, to what you'll bring to us tonight, and I pray that your hand will be on Dr. Lyons tonight, that he has a clear message from you. And as he's always done, he uses your words, not his. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to study your word, to be here for those that need to call with questions and problems, Father, that perhaps we can steer them to the right scripture. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity. And it's in the strong name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And I wanted to just let everybody know that you can invite others to listen, to be part of Ask the Pastor. We will be answering questions after the Bible study time, so please call in, and that number for your questions is 646-716-7765. And also let us talk to you about our website. You can go to www.writelyons, that's writelyons.com. Pastor?
Please email us your prayer request at btr@writelyons.com. We also love to hear your praise reports about how God answered in your life. So share your prayer and praise reports by emailing us at btr@writelyons.com. Again, that's btr@writelyons.com.
You know, that is an important point. I'm glad we have that on a little message there to remind people, yes, we want to hear your prayer requests, but I think part of appreciating the relationship with God is to also come back and share the praise report, to remind God that we are grateful for the way he does intervene in our lives when we come together in prayer. Our first prayer request I want to share this evening comes from an anonymous request who said, "Why can't I remember my abuse? I want to so badly. I need closure. I'm so hungry, lonely, and tired. All I want is love. Someone to listen to me, tell my story to nurture me. I want to remember, why won't you let me? I'm tired of being alone. I don't know what to do. Please help me." And Jim, before you go on, I just want to comment a little bit to that. I realize that our person with this request is obviously feeling a great sense of being alone. They have experienced abuse of some sort in the past, and I want to encourage them, as well as anyone else who might be in this situation. Sometimes we do sort of close down, and we get a mental block against trauma that comes into our lives. And I would encourage the person, I realize they feel they want and need that sense of closure. I want to also suggest to them that sometimes that is part of the healing process of God, realizing what we can handle, that sometimes there's almost like shutters that the mind will put up. And also, by the same token, you know, what we need to be able to do is to move forward, to be able to let go of some things. And I think sometimes that is what she may be praying for, what he may be praying for, to retain or to bring back, may be something that God is simply closing and taking away out of their life and allowing them to have a clean start. So certainly we'll join them in praying for what they're asking for, but I would encourage them not to obsess there, but to look at and ask themselves the question, is God possibly already doing the healing that they've been asking for? Jim?
You know, Pastor, that is so interesting that that question came up and your explanation, because I have such a great, I thought it was just something in my character that allows me to, I don't think I've ever suffered abuse as you and I would probably define it, but being able to block out those negative periods in your life and the negative issues in your life and flaws. There's something about, I've recently thought of it as a great blessing to be optimistic. You know, I see so many people that are aggravated, depressed, and just feel hopeless. And what a blessing it is to wake up and be encouraged and, you know, not be downtrodden. So that's a great
question.
That's very true. And we have another one. It's another anonymous prayer request. Please forgive me for my sins and not overcoming temptation. You can really hear this person's struggle here. Please forgive me. I'm so sorry. I fell short of your glory. Please keep Satan off my back so I do not sin no more. I feel like a failure. God, I love you. Please don't stop blessing me. Please don't hold it against me. I would think that deserves some explanation too, Pastor, that you can really see somebody thinks that, you know, they've got to perform. And I think that speaks highly of their anxiety and their concern here.
That's true. And that's one of those times where, regardless of what the sin might be, regardless of what the event was, you know, we have to get a hold of 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's so important to realize that that scripture was written to believers, and knowing that, that God recognized, God understood that there would be times, and, you know, our adversary, she says here, please keep Satan off my back. You know, that idea that he's the one who's bringing it back up. He's the one that's throwing it in their face. And they need to realize that once it's been covered by the blood, you know, it's just not there for him to see anymore. God will not bring it up. And, you know, a great message I heard some years ago was, in fact, there was sort of an irony to it. There was two preachers that preached two messages back to back. The first one was the God who can do anything. The second message, a pastor got up and preached the message, 7 things God can't do. And so the timing was rather interesting of those two messages, but among the things God can't do, they mention God cannot see a sin that's been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so I would say to that person that's feeling the weight of their sin, if they have confessed and if they have forsaken, know that God will let them move forward now, and they are free of that sin. I had a prayer request also tonight from a person who said, please pray for the healing of my marriage. I am so sad. And we realize that broken homes and homes that are damaged are so very tragic throughout our country, certainly throughout the world. And so we want to pray for the continued healing and restoration of this marriage. Jim?
All right. An anonymous prayer request also. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray for all the mothers, grandmothers, aunts, sisters, cousins, nieces, and friends around the world who are forced to hold down their households as the mother, the father, provider, leader, counselor, cook, and the cook and the nurturer all at once. Give them the strength and helping hands so that they maintain and lead their children in the right direction. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, and thank you in advance.
Interesting. That is so powerful. I know my mom, pretty much from the time I was age two, was raising us as a single mom, and she did a fabulous job. And well, actually, there was four of us children, so, you know, at least one out of four isn't bad. But it is amazing. Thank you. Somebody got that. It is amazing to realize that there are people out there raising their families by themselves, that through circumstance, sometimes through divorce, sometimes through just the loss of a loved one, they suddenly wind up wearing all these different hats, and it can seem overwhelming. So let's just take a moment to encourage them, let them know God will sustain you. God will get you through that. Recognize it's amazing how God will raise people up to fill the roles, but don't feel like you can't do it, because if you totally turn it over to God, you'll be amazed at what he will do through you. It is a special role, a powerful role, a demanding role, but there'll be the successes, and so don't give up. Jim, let's bring these requests before God at this time, and if you would get us started, I'll be happy to close this up there at the end.
Certainly. Heavenly Father, you can easily tell we are suffering. Your children are suffering, and there's a clear thread throughout all of these that, Father, we need you so badly, and we need to be able to come to you with all of our needs and our desires. Father, we ask this particular prayer request, closure. They need closure in an abuse situation. Father, I pray that your hand is on that life, and that you would calm that heart and provide the closure that's needed so that that person can know that that is not a situation you would condone, and that you would provide the comfort they need. Father, overcoming temptation and this feeling of falling short that one of our callers has is simply, Father, I think it's what defines a Christ follower. It's not what we can do in our own strength, Father. We know that it's what Christ did. It's already been done. And so any sin that we confess, Father, we know that not only do you forgive us instantly, but you do something that we're incapable of doing. You tell us you put it as far from you as the east is from the west and remember it no more. Father, one prayer request here talks about the mothers, the ones that have had to step up and be father and mother and counselor. Father, it's really an indictment for some men who have walked away, have been so selfish that they don't care for their families. Father, I just pray that this moment you would give them the admonishment they deserve and teach these men that they're responsible and they are supposed to be the spiritual heads of the household. Absentee fathers cause a great deal of consternation for our nation. Father, we love you and we thank you that these requests, when we pray, you're already putting the solution in motion, and we thank you for that in Jesus' name.
And Heavenly Father, as we continue, we just praise you and thank you for the way you are working in the lives of these people who have this passion and hurt on their heart at this time. Pray that you will touch them and strengthen, refresh them with the healing they need. So especially even just this evening, they'll be able to rest, to feel refreshed, to feel your presence. And Lord, I lift our nation up to you that you will cleanse us, forgive us. Especially, dear God, I ask you for the cleansing and forgiveness for the churches of America that have been silent too long. I pray, dear God, that we'll once again humble ourselves, come to you, and become passionate about seeing homes restored, lives changed, and the gospel spread. Help us, dear God, to have the revival we need within our churches, our local churches, Lord, so that we will be faithful with your word, that we won't play around with the wording, will believe you that you said what you said and will act on it. You change lives, God. You can change our nation one soul at a time. I pray, dear God, that you give us wisdom, healing, restoration as a nation. All these things we ask, dear God, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Now, before we begin our Bible study this evening, I also want to remind those of you who listen to our program from the archive, you're very special to us as well. Don't feel slighted. You can be a part of the program by sharing your questions and prayer requests that you have. Maybe you have a question that you run through your mind and you say, oh, that's great, what can I do with this? And the number's live when they're on the air, and my question is here now. So we want you to be a part of it. And so we've come up with a practical way for this. We're going to share the details of that now, and also want to let you know, as you're looking at the screen on Blog Talk Radio, that you'll actually scroll down there and you'll see this number is given there as a reference that you can dial anytime to leave your request.
Had a question and didn't get to ask it? Listening to the program from the archive and can't dial the regular number? Either way, you can still ask the pastor. Just call toll-free and leave your question at 1-866-275-4472 and select option 1. Please leave your first name and your question. Be sure to speak clearly, as we may use your question on the air in a subsequent broadcast. Again, that toll-free number is 1-866-275-4472. Thank you.
And so we do hope you'll take advantage of that and be a part of Ask the Pastor, as Jim is always so kind to remind you. Also, something we want to remind you of is that, hard to believe, but in about 2 weeks, we're going to look at the calendar and say, you know, a year ago, we began this process. God worked in our lives and allowed us to bring Ask the Pastor on the air. Jim, what do you think about that?
Pastor, did you just say we've been on the air 1 year?
In just 2 weeks, it will be our anniversary time. Isn't that something?
That's incredible. That's incredible. To God be the glory. It's been a great year, and we're celebrating 1 year on the air. We will recap some great moments and give God the glory. We have had the great opportunity to study the Bible and to pose and answer Bible questions. You know, I remember when you and I first talked about this, it was interesting. We wondered, is there, I'd say market, is there a demand for this? And I think the number of callers we get and the numbers just, they speak for themselves. There is a demand. People are needing help. And so it's just been a wonderful year.
That's so very true. And what we're going to do on the anniversary evening, Thursday night, surprisingly enough, we're going to sort of travel back in time, and we're going to look at some of the very special programs we've been blessed to be a part of over the year. And one of the things we'll take a look at are the holidays that have come up over the year. We've been very blessed and fortunate to be able to set time aside at each time a holiday rolled by and to look for God in the moment and to look for a way to try to be an encouragement to our listeners when the special holidays roll by. Your thoughts, Jim?
Well, in addition, we've had some special guests, and it's been really exciting. Cristiano Brothers are actually filming right now. I wonder how they're coming along. But our guests have been great, haven't they?
Absolutely. Just a true blessing. And again, we'll have an opportunity. I think the time, you know, we're always amazed how quickly the time goes by, but I think that night it is going to sweep by rapidly. For those of you who are a recent listener to Ask the Pastor, that'll be a good way to get up to speed, because you'll get a full year's coverage in less than an hour. So it should be an interesting time, and we'll enjoy it together. So look forward to that. And so encourage others to listen and join you that night to listen to Ask the Pastor. But you know, we are continuing in a study that we began just last week, and we think you will find it a blessing because it's a book that gets sometimes overlooked, I think, because of apprehension or fear or can I understand it, but it is a tremendous series that we want to share with you tonight.
The country has grown increasingly hostile to those who believe in Jesus Christ. There is an ongoing intolerance for Christian values, beliefs, and even their way of speaking. It has reached a point where many behaviors are tolerated, but Christian moral values are viewed with suspicion even by the government. Enough is enough. The government takes a stand and imprisons one of the well-known Christian leaders of the faith. The Apostle John is removed to the island of Patmos, a Roman penal colony. And while Rome celebrates, God gives a vision to John on the Lord's Day, which comes to be known as the Book of Revelation. Join us on Thursday nights when we study the Book of Revelation, a book that many do not understand, many are confused by, and simply have not read. Ironically, it is the only book of the Bible that promises a blessing to those who read it. Join Dr. Charles Lyons and Jim Simmons as we study this prophetic book of things to come. Don't put off your blessings any longer.
And so, welcome once again tonight to Apocalypse Wow. This is a study of the Book of Revelation, sentence by sentence. It'll take some time, but it is something that is worth a tremendous blessing. In fact, we are promised just that, a blessing. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants, things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. And it was John who documented, made a record of this. And he did it obediently because it was a request of God to do this and to get this message out to the churches, seven specific churches. This is not the revelation of John. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that is the foundation that we set down last week as we began with those first verses. And it's interesting. I love the way it wrapped up in last week's study in verse 6, when God said through his word, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, and to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Now, amen. That is a unique and powerful way to be a part of the gospel of Christ, to realize that it's his desire for us to be made, you know, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. What an exciting time. And so we continue now, picking up in verse 7, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Now, Jim, you can come to Revelation, and you can see God's grace, God's intervention, God's judgment. As believers, I want lost people to understand, people who may not feel like they're a part of church, we don't come to passages like this and celebrate and say, ah, you're getting yours now. No. Mm-hmm. You see, our hearts break for those who are lost because part of being Christ-like is to view people the way he does, and he views them as lost souls. He wants them to come to him. He loved them so much he died for them. Mm-hmm. And so when we see a verse like this, we realize there is judgment coming. And we're excited in the sense that we wait for the Lord's return, but also our hearts ache, desiring to see people come to know him as Savior and Lord so that they will be coming with him. Now, Jim, I'm going to put a question out there for you. There's a lot of things we can see. We can talk about it in other places. But if you look at this verse, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, all kindreds of earth, shall wail because of him. This is a passage that's talking about Christ's return. Now, my question for you is, Jim, is that him bringing us up for the rapture, or is that him coming in judgment on the earth?
Well, it sounds to me like it's judgment. It's when he says, they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail. We, I don't believe, have anything but joy. I don't think we'd be wailing for anything. As a matter of fact, I think we've already been gathered, and we're with him in the cloud.
Absolutely. And there's a powerful cue. You got it. What can I say? there is a great little phrase there I want to draw people's attention to. Every eye shall see him. Now, Jim, when we speak of the rapture, we're told that, the trump will sound, the voice of the archangel, and we'll be caught up and be with him, and so shall we ever be with him. no indication that everybody's looking around and saying, wow, the trumpet's sounded. Look, God's taking his people up. I mean, there'll be some serious disruption going on in this world when the Christians are taken out in what we refer to as the rapture.
Mm-hmm.
But when he comes back for 7 years in judgment to sit down here on this earth and to set up a reign, that is something very traumatic. And that phrase there, every eye shall see him, that's what we're talking about. Everybody's going to see that. That's the key way you can look. When you look at the verses that talk about the rapture and the verses that talk about his return here on earth, a quick way to decide which verse is that, which way is it, which event are we talking about, is simply to look at it. Is this something where he's taking people out, or is this something that everybody can see?
Mm.
You know, as a believer, how long have we waited for this moment? And we have a clear glimpse and an announcement of Christ's return to earth. The rapture, as you said, has taken place. And because those that have pierced him, the kindreds of the earth, will wail because of him. There's a judgment that's kicking in at this moment. And, you know, we're a very unusual army, if you want to call us an army, because we're going to come back with him. We're going to rule and reign with him. But it's him that's going to be doing the battle. It's him, by his word, that'll be showing power and strength. You know, this verse is what I call a preview. It's a way of whetting the appetite. And you had a curious comment earlier about the word, the whetting of the appetite. Would you share with our listeners a little bit about that word, the meaning and the power behind it, its original thought?
Well, you know, we've talked before that there are certain phrases and euphemisms we use, and as we've gotten older, the younger generations, what are you talking about? They don't understand. Mm-hmm. So whet your appetite, I'd actually Googled it to see if I was correct in what I remembered. And it says, it is natural to think that something mouth-watering wets your appetite. And that's W-E-T-S, like damp, wet, your appetite. Mm-hmm. But actually, the expression is wet, W-H-E-T, your appetite, which is sharpen your appetite as a wet stone sharpens a knife. And I, you know, one of the questions I thought is, I remember when my dad gave me one of those stones to sharpen my pocket knife, because that used to be such a valuable commodity back then, having your own, you know, coming of age manhood thing.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You put a little oil on that stone, and I'd be out there for hours, because I was also a Boy Scout. You got to have a sharp knife as a Boy Scout. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I learned wet, W-H-E-T. And so I think people use it now more W-E-T and think it means, you know, get your mouth watering.
Right. No, that's great. I mean, I know you've been sharp for years, so now I know where it comes from. it's true. I mean, and I think it's a good application. You know, we want to be able to be focused, to have an edge to our ability to go into the world, to carry the gospel, to cut through the sin of this world, to cut through the lies that the devil puts out there about our faith, about our Christ, about our God. And so there needs to be an edge that's out there. Remember, the Bible is referred to as a two-edged sword that will pierce to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, the joints of marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
So this verse is a preview. But yes, there's also an edge to it that comes into play. We'll get greater detail on that when we go to chapter 19 of Revelation. We may cover it in more detail at another point this evening, depending on our time. But really, the Bible in the book of Revelation is chronological in order, and we're laying some foundations, we're getting some things into play, and then we're going to start marching through the time element. And the interesting thing is, these are things yet to come. You know, Zechariah 12:10 says that the Israelites would witness this moment. And in that passage, the Bible says, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. Remember, that's that same phrase we read just a moment ago. And they shall mm-hmm. mourn for him as one that mourneth for its only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is bitterness of the firstborn. See, this is exciting, because that phrase that You know, we just read a moment ago over in Revelation was a moment that was prophetically given back in Zechariah, back in the Old Testament, hundreds of years before. So this is an ongoing prophecy that we're going to see fulfilled, that is going to happen. In fact, we touched on this a short time back. Jim, do you have Jude 14 and 15? Could you read that to us?
Sure. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have done ungodly committed, and all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Oh, that's tough.
It is. I mean, think of that phrase, and their hard speeches. You know, you try to be a witness, you try to live a life that honors God. There's times when people will attack you. They will attack your character and attack your God and try to tear you down. And, yeah, it's a hard speech when you are ridiculed for your faith. But it's okay. You know, God is the one who is being judged there. God is the one who is they're angry at. But guess what? God will take care of things. God will bless and watch. And he's the one that people have to make a decision about. You know, nobody really, it doesn't matter if they say, well, Pastor Lyons, you know, I just don't agree with you. And Brother Jim, I just don't agree with you. But what they do with Jesus Christ, God is going to step up and say, this matters. What have you done with my son? Mm-hmm. Have you ridiculed him? Have you mocked him? Or have you accepted him? That's the strength. That's the decision time. What have you done?
You know, Pastor, I was just thinking about that. We hear it in everyday speech. We hear it, ad nauseum in the movies. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. And these are people, I don't think any of them really have any idea what they're saying. It's like a phrase, and I don't think they really understand, and I think they're going to be held accountable for that. And don't you cringe when you hear it? Not so much that it's what's going to happen to them, but we have a Lord that took all of our pain and suffering all our sin to the cross, and they have just, I guess, minimized what he's done in just a careless phrase. It really irritates me, and I think if I become a better Christian, I'll learn to feel more compassion for them because they're the ones that are going to be sorry.
Well, I know years ago by a group called Van Zandt and Van Zandt, they had done a powerful Southern gospel song entitled, he's more than just a swear word, more than an I don't care word, you know. And I think what it is, the more you fall in love with God, the more you fall in love with Christ, what he's done for you, and you allow the Spirit of God to warm your inside, draw your heart to a point where it's not cold from this world, you know, even when they use those phrases, they're talking about your loved one now. They're talking about
right.
God. It's got to affect you. If you fall in love with God, it affects you when people turn on him that way. And you're right. One of the things that hurts so badly is you want them to know, you want them to understand, you want the Bible uses the phrase, you know, for the scales to come off the eyes so they can see what it means. We have got to consider the strength of this promise. This prophecy is a promise to the faith and the family of Christ. And, you know, the events that take place today are transmit all over the world. We don't think anything of getting on the internet and watching an event, a program, or, you know, turning on the news and seeing something that's coming to us live from a different part of the world. But think about the Christians when they saw this prophecy, when they heard this passage, when it was, you know, copies were made of this and distributed out. And they got a hold of that, and they, by faith, they saw a time would come when God's word and God's presence would be seen by everyone. Period. No question.
Mm.
Now, that's a leap of faith for people who had to wait, you know, sometimes months to get a message from one area to another area. And we take it for granted that we can flip something on the computer and see it instantly.
Mm-hmm.
They had the confidence. They didn't question it. They understood if God said it, that's good enough for them. And I think that says a lot about the testimony of John, because he was delivering the message that God had delivered to him. And to read that, to hear that, and accept that instruction says, they also acknowledged John's walk in God. His testimony was strong enough that it said, this is really coming from God. We trust it. We believe it. So, you know, we know it's coming. We know his second coming is coming, the rapture. But in this passage, as we said, for here every eye shall see him. It's going to be an amazing thing.
Mm-hmm.
The day will soon come when people will not take this event by faith. They're going to take it by reality. It could happen in our lifetime. It will happen in our lifetime, Jim, because think of it this way. Having eternal life in Christ means we're going to be around here eternally. You know, we may be here for the rapture. We may die of natural causes, if you want to call them that. But either way, life eternally is taking place. People will see this event. They will know it. Your comments,
you know, two
thoughts,
questions. I just would like to say, I hope it bothers you as much as it bothers me. We use the internet, these smartphones. How many times do you see OMG? Does that irritate you? And I know it does, but we've got to stop doing that, and we've got to, you know, correct it, because it's innocently done. People don't think anything about it, but it does. It bothers me. And I wonder also, when it says every eye will see, there's got to be something supernatural here, because if I'm in China and not in the United States, I can't see the curvature of the earth. So it's going to be a phenomenal event. And, you know, frankly, I wouldn't want a God. I don't think that I could understand everything. I want somebody bigger than me. And so this event has always, in my mind, I've always thought, how is that going to happen? It's going to be so phenomenal. You know, it's going to defy our logic of what is physics. How's that going to happen? Two thoughts.
Well, you know, I remember when Ted Turner first went live on his broadcast to CNN. You know, up to that point, there had not been any extended news program coverage. We had the evening news. We didn't have that many morning news shows, if you remember. So when CNN came on, that was a radical thought. Would it really happen? There were people who thought that would not last a week or two. They just thought they'd run out of news, and certainly nobody would watch it. And, of course, nowadays we realize people just cannot get enough of the news. And I wish sometimes where people were more busy making news than sitting back reading it and watching it. But I still remember the phrase that Ted Turner used. It was a bit arrogant, but that was a bit Ted Turner. What can I say?
No, arrogant Ted Turner?
say it ain't so. I know.
You must have the wrong guy.
Yeah, Ted Turner came on the air, on CNN no less, and made the statement, you know, we are now on the air, and we will stay on the air till the end of time, and we plan when it's the end of the world to cover it live. Now, you know, he can laugh at that, he can mock that, he can take it lightly, he can take it seriously. Maybe CNN will cover it live, but guess what? God is faithful. He's coming back. That is the reality. Whether it's Ted Turner covering it, whether it's TBN, or whether it's, you know, the Christian networks out there doing it, they're actually larger and in a better position to do the coverage. Who knows who will be operating them coming out through the tribulation period? But this one thing I know, God is faithful. Everyone is going to see it. Every eye will pick it up. I think blind people will have a perfect cognizance of what's happening. God is returning. And so that is a reality that we need to get a hold of. It is expanded. It's going to be developed when we hit Revelation 19, 11 through 16. You know, right now we're taking it by faith, but there are people going to live through the event. You know, we might be part of that 10,000s of coming back with him. He might have us doing something else. I don't know. Maybe, who knows, Jim? He may have us going live to cover it on radio for him. But he's coming back. So, and by the way, just like tough folks, when that happens, don't worry about the archives. Live it. Experience the presence of God.
It'll be wonderful.
You know, and, That it will. I want to say again, by the way, folks, I mean, we get thrilled at the idea of seeing God triumphant. Just know that we won't have to cringe about children not being safe. We won't have to worry, like we had the prayer request earlier, about abuse. But for a righteous God, to have a righteous kingdom, that, you know, the things that people fear, they won't fear anymore. Because there won't be torment, there won't be drunkards, there won't be abuse. There will be holiness. There will be a cleansing. There will be a righteous judge. And for that, I am so thankful.
And love.
And we take no joy in the judgment, but we are so thankful for the salvation that we know in Christ, and we offer freely because he offers it freely to each and every person. In verse 8, I mean, if you can't see God in this, you're missing something. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. You know, in our own minds, we can't begin to get our heads around that. Seems like so much. But as you said earlier, Jim said, I don't want a God that isn't more than me. My situations demand something bigger than me. It needs God. And the two letters here, this Alpha and Omega that we're hearing, you know, they come from the Greek alphabet, the first letter and the last letter. According to John 1:3, all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made. There is our God. There is the Trinity, past, present, future. He is the source of everything. He is what's brought together and gave us in creation. Jim, you have Colossians 1:16 through 17. Share that with our listeners, if you would.
For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist.
Wow.
Wow. Powerful.
Isn't that something? That is God. That is a big God, and that's what we need. We need more than hard to believe, bigger than a Texas God. We need a God who can step out there and comfort us, to heal us, to bless us, and to bring all creations in heaven and earth together. You know, Hebrews 1, 3, and 4 says, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. That's Jesus Christ. God is our creator, our sustainer. In addition, he is eternal. Jim, give us Hebrews 13:8.
Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever.
And I balance that with Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world to come. Now, Malachi 3:6, he said, I am the Lord, I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. We can have peace and we can have assurance. Our God is both eternal and unchanging. And there is this incredibleness about God that we have to get a hold of, accept, and allow him to be a part of our lives. Jim, your thoughts?
Well, I just imagine when people question that there is a God, I just want you to stop and think for a moment. I can touch and feel something. I have a brain that I don't even have to think about. I can extend my arm. How do you make a heart? How do you make an eye that can see? And when you just think of, that's just the human body. And then you've got a mind that is electrochemical, and it thinks and it sees and it hears and it tastes, and all the senses. Don't even get started about hanging all the planets and all the stars and the galaxies. How do you not believe there's a God? I mean, how does this happen? A primordial ooze, facetiously, I'd say.
Well, you know, I don't have that much faith. I'm sorry, I can't go that way. I have to trust God. You know, John, there on the Isle of Patmos, they're going through all that he was. I mean, that's a penal colony. That's a place of suffering. He's out there. But, you know, John was held really in reverence. He was an older man at this time, probably the oldest still living apostle. People respected him greatly. It would be easy for people to take their eyes off Christ and to begin following John to think how powerful he was and think of how his life had been so strong, even in prison and even in this place that he'd been taken. Still, they could easily look at him and see this is this great figure that we honor and we respect. And here's what John says in verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. In other words, he's humbling himself. He's helping people to see that it's not me, it's God. You know, keep your eyes in the right direction. I'm your brother. I'm just like you. I was your companion in the tribulation and the abuse we're taking by the government of our time and the people who don't appreciate Jesus Christ, who don't acknowledge who he is. And he goes on to say, I, John, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. In other words, he was there paying a price. He was being persecuted. He had been taken from where he was, a place of safety, and being placed now on this penal colony, an island, rugged, rough, difficult to survive, and he was placed there. And that's where he was. And so it's not all about, and John, wonderful, John is saying, yeah, I'm your brother. I'm your companion. I'm going through stuff too. But guess what? I was there in the Isle of Patmos for the word of God, for what I believed in, God's word, and for the testimony that I've had for Jesus Christ. That's why he was there. And I'm reminded of that phrase, if the world hates you, you know it hated me too. That's the words of Christ. And you know, it's easy to feel beaten up. It's easy to read about our brothers and sisters in Christ who have gone through so much, have been persecuted through time and different parts of the world, even today. And I want to share a little illustration for you that maybe you can see some benefit from all this. Because it's easy to sit back and simply ask, why? Why, God? Well, in the palace there in Tehran, Iran, they had probably what was one of the most beautiful entrances to a palace you can imagine. And this is a real event, and they were decorating, they were, you know, had these ceilings and sidewalls and columns covered with diamonds. And the royal palace was planned. The architects had been brought in, and they had ordered from Paris mirrors to cover the entrance walls. When the mirrors arrived, they were in the crates, and when they pulled the crates apart, they discovered those mirrors had not exactly survived the journey. They were now broken into all these pieces. A couple of the men had an idea, one man in particular. He said, let's take the broken pieces, let's fit them together and see if we can get them in there and how it will look. And to their amazement, what came out of it was an enormous distortion of reflections and sparkles and rainbows of color like diamonds that just filled the area. It was more beautiful than they could have imagined it being any other way. They just saw it have all that light with the mirrors in there, create some depth. Instead, they got a burst of power and color coming out of it. And listen, when the church, when God's believers are persecuted, and when we come before God broken, that's when we can reflect him best. When we are broken and humbled, that's when God's light can shine through us in an amazing assortment of color and light that will truly be a light to this world in Christ. Verse 10 says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the big first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book. Send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. Now those were seven literal existing churches, and what John has just been told by God himself to do, pin down what I'm going to demonstrate to you. He's visually going to allow John to see these things. It's not just dictation. He's going to show it to him. It will be visual. It will be sound. It will be light. And he will be able to document it. When did it come? When was it delivered? On the Lord's day. Isn't it exciting, Jim? This is sort of a side note, but think about this. God knew precisely where to find John on the Lord's Day, Sunday. He didn't have to go looking for him in another part. No.
Yeah.
Now, that is something God's people should be faithful about. That's something God wants to know. Where can I locate you? You know, I know he knows our hearts. I know he knows the Spirit of God is. But it isn't nice to know that on Sunday he can know where he can find us. You know, we're faithful to you. And that's so important. And the instructions, the Alpha, the Omega, we know, you know, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, forever. We know who we're talking about here. And, you know, this is not a secret. This is something he's going to document. And, you know, as a writer, I appreciate the fact that, you know, obviously John was a self-publisher. He was a Christian author. He's about to take down the Word of God. He's going to get copies sent out. He's going to make 7 copies, distribute them. Only a self-published author could distribute 7 copies and feel like my work is done. I've done my job. You know, and this is a powerful moment. And, you know, those churches, you know, today that area is not, you know, Asia, because remember, as we go through politically and such things, and people change and governments change, you know, lands change. And so that particular area called Asia at that time is now what we would refer to as Turkey. But these are literal cities. And one of the things we've done on the website that you come to be observing this program, listening to this program, you see some slide images that are up there that are reminding you about the program, about the prayer activities that we have, things of this nature. One of those slides you'll see that will pop up will actually show you the physical location of those 7 churches that are mentioned here. Again, Ephesus, Smyrna, not Georgia, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. So that's a nice little visual image you can look at and gain some insight from. Again, I want to emphasize, it's not a secret. God's going to show it crystal clear for John, and John's going to document it down and get the word out for us to have. Am I going too fast? You got some questions for us, Jim?
Well, I'm just thinking, 7 churches, are these, I just wonder out loud, are these the only churches? Are these the predominant churches? And why these churches? I would just think there had to be some significance, because there should have been more churches than 7, I would imagine.
That's very true.
So?
Yes. One of the reasons I put that little map out there for people to see, they will notice the relationship physically of those 7 churches to the Isle of Patmos. And they realize that these were in the same general area. And so this would be a point where God's word could be distributed rapidly, relatively rapidly. Remembering, all this material is going to be copied down by hand, and it's then going to be have copies made by hand. And if you will, part of the testimony that existed around John's life was such that he was able to get these from a penal island distributed back out into these churches. And of course, over time, they have distributed and become a part of our Bible that we share even now. They're still being blessed by and encouraged by and educated by about what's going to happen in the future. Again, it's not a secret. We've been told this. And so, yes, there was a close proximity to help in the distribution of getting that word out there. And the beauty also, as you look at these churches, each one of them are dealing with some elements that we deal with. That is, you know, these were not so unique that we don't look at it today and say, yes, I've experienced that in a church I've been a part of, or I've seen this happen somewhere, or maybe it's something that one of our listeners is dealing with right now. Mm-hmm. So these are really tremendous lessons, but please make no mistake, those were literal churches. Some people will refer to them as church ages, different periods of time, and with the broad strokes that can be true, but never lose sight, these all existed at the same time, these churches, and they all experienced these challenges. But the exciting thing is that God had something good to say about each one of them. There was a strength to them, but he also had some discipline for them to learn,
right,
to grow, to mature. And so I think that's so important to realize. Go ahead.
That's kind of what I remember. He sounds like he's complimenting them. And then doesn't he say later, and we haven't covered this yet, but doesn't he say later, but I have something against you, or there's something I'm not happy about.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, I was just sort of looking at our time, and I realized that we could not do justice to the verses to remain, that if we went ahead with that. So I think we'll really use this as a good stopping point. And at this point in time, where we've brought with John is that he was there on the Lord's Day. He heard the sound of a great voice. He heard the trumpet. He felt the presence of God. He turned around, and he saw the one speaking to him. I am Alpha and Omega, the first, the last. And he's gotten his instructions of what he's to do. That God is going to visually show him what is to come. And he's going to be able to pin this down and document it again so that we will know we are his people. We're not going to be kept in the dark. He's going to show us, and we can learn from that, and we can be prepared as we go into the future. I think that is a powerful truth for us to be holding. It's a powerful thing to get a hold of and to be excited by, because, frankly, we need to know that we have a God who so loves us that we can also trust him. And to know and move forward. Now, that's where we're going to close off for tonight. But definitely, I encourage people to get back with us next week. We're going to continue in the book of Revelation. We're going to continue for some time. But it'll take time to get this much meat under our belts, to understand, to strengthen ourselves, and to be blessed, to experience that, and to be thankful for what God can do. You know, I do want to take just a moment. And, you know, I know we always have questions that come in. We've talked about that earlier. And one of the questions that we received was, why do we have to read the Bible? Is it really necessary? Jim, what are your thoughts on that? Because I know you are very faithful in reading your Bible. Do we have to read it?
That's a great question, because I don't know if you have to, but I don't know how you would ever expect to grow if you didn't, because just as quickly as I can, I know we're short of time, but there is so much he wants to reveal. God wants to reveal about himself. It's God revealing himself, and he wants you to know about him. And you know what I've said before, people are sometimes read the New Testament. Don't you want to know the rest of the story? I don't know why you would not have that curiosity. Well, I've read the New Testament. I kind of get, because that's all about me, my gospel. I get the gospel and I get saved. Done. It's not done. God wants to show you so much more, teach you, admonish you, love you. And so I cannot imagine, Pastor, and I don't say this frivolously at all, I can't imagine a morning that I don't spend time with my Heavenly Father. It is so rewarding. It is such a great feeling of accomplishment that you're learning about your Heavenly Father. So, yeah, we could talk for a long time about that. We don't have the time, do we?
Well, you know, I've always looked at it two ways. One is the fact that, you know, the Bible is God's Word. It's like getting love letters from God every day, finding out what's on his heart, things that he can teach me. You know, Psalm 119:11 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you." And so we have that. We find our delight in him. But, you know, the other thing I'm reminded of is the fact that, you know, the things I learn in the morning as I go through his word, they'll be the things I wind up needing as I go through the day. So I trust him. Do I need it? Yes, I personally need it. Do we have to do it? No, but I think if you fall in love with God, you're going to want to do it. So let me just say, I encourage our listeners to keep the questions coming. Be with us next week and listen in and invite others as we hit towards the first week or the first Thursday in August as we enjoy our anniversary of 1 year on the air with Ask the Pastor. Good night, Jim.
Good night, Pastor. Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us today on Ask the Pastor. We hope that you found the time beneficial, a blessing, and that you will join us again soon. If you had a question and did not get a chance to ask it, please email your question to us at askthepastor@rightlions.com. We will try to respond to your question either by email or answer it on the air during a future broadcast. Now, on behalf of Jim Simmons, Charles Lyons, and the whole Ask the Pastor team, we encourage you to explore our website for encouragement and great resources. You can find us at www.brightlions.com. So, until next time, read, study, pray, and prepare for your life of faith and freedom.